Today we're going to start off by putting everyone into a few categories. Don't you just love being categorized? Bear with me. There are some of you here who are in good physical shape, maybe even great physical shape. There are some of you here who are in decent shape, neither great nor terribly bad. And then there are those of us who are, well, not in good shape. Why is that? Well, part of it has to do with our genetic makeup. Not only do we inherit certain body characteristics, body types from our parents, also our overall health many times is affected by our genes. Sometimes it's a matter of having an injury, which perhaps keeps us for a long time from being able to exercise. And for various reasons, many people in this world have a poor diet, which keeps them from overall health, including their physical health. But many times, you're not in good physical shape because of a lack of effort. And that's where that adage, no pain, no gain, comes into play. For most people, it takes diligent effort to get into and to stay in good physical shape. You have to watch your diet, making sure that you don't consume more calories than you burn. You have to get some cardiovascular exercise in a few times a week. And maybe even throw in some weight training for good measure. No pain, no gain. Now for the Christians in the ancient city of Smyrna, those are the people to whom the words of our text are addressed, that idea would be more than just a motivating adage. The words of the text this morning are coming from Jesus himself through the Apostle John. And after assuring them that he knew their difficult situation, he encourages them and he encourages us with these words. From Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, Jesus said, "Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested. And for 10 days you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." This is God's word. Of course, it wasn't uncommon for Christians in the early church to suffer persecution for their faith. And apparently the persecution for the Christians in Smyrna was going to go from bad to worse. Just prior to the text, Jesus told them, "I know your tribulation and your poverty." And then he tells them that some of them are going to be thrown into prison. But the people at Smyrna, the Christians there, needed to take special note that this particular persecution was only going to last 10 days. Now, since most of the numbers in Revelation are symbolic, this 10 days probably just represents a short time. That is, God was going to limit the amount of time for this particular persecution. Now, we don't have a direct word from our Savior telling us that we are going to undergo persecution. Or do we? At the end of John 16, Jesus says, "In the world, you will have tribulation." And that's not really news to us, is it? We know that being a Christian in many parts of the world means that your life is in danger. But even for us in the United States, just because we're blessed to live in a country where we have religious freedom, it doesn't mean that we don't undergo persecution. Many times that persecution comes in the form of personal attacks, usually verbal attacks, from someone who maybe is a friend, maybe even a family member. That persecution comes through the various media which belittle Christians and Christianity, thus blaspheming our Lord. It comes, in many cases, through our classrooms, through our textbooks, through teachers. Now, this is not to say that we're supposed to feel sorry for ourselves and adopt some sort of a martyr mentality. Not all of the tribulation in our lives comes from outside of us. Many times, we end up provoking persecution by going on some kind of a righteous war path against someone with whose views we disagree. And usually we might think that we have to provoke someone in order to get them to react to us. And that provoking might come through angry words. But those angry words really only bring God's wrath to us. Jesus says in Luke 6, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. Keep in mind also that our pain is only going to last for a short time, because we're only going to be on this earth a short time. A short time? About a month ago, my wife's grandfather passed away at age 101 and a half. A few weeks ago, Kathy Peterson's mother passed away at age 99. Isn't that a long time? Will you live that long? Well, I don't know if you're going to live that long, but that time isn't really that long. Yes, in terms of years, in terms of lifespan, that's a long time. But in terms of eternity, not even 101 years is anything. There is no time in eternity. No pain, no gain. While we're on this earth, we have to suffer, but it only lasts for a short time. And what gain awaits us at our end? Do not fear what you are about to suffer, Jesus said to the Christians at Smyrna. Why not? Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Normally, when we think of someone wearing a crown, we think of a king or a queen wearing a crown as a symbol of their royal authority. But the crown of which Jesus speaks here, the crown he promises to faithful Christians, is really more the crown that goes to the winner of a contest, such as an athletic contest. From the time of the ancient Greeks, they would award the winners of their athletic contests a crown, a crown woven out of various types of leaves. Now that crown, while it was an honor and a privilege to receive, wasn't going to last long. It wasn't something they could put in their trophy case to show their grandchildren. But the crown that Jesus promises is going to last. The crown of life that he promises us is eternal life. It's the life that is given to us through faith, through believing in Jesus as our Savior. It's the life won for us by Jesus' perfect life, running the race without ever sinning, without ever uttering any words in anger. It's the life that Jesus won for us by his perfect death, when he went to the cross to take the punishment we deserved from God. It's the life that Jesus assures us through his incredible resurrection from the dead, in which he proves that he is the victor over the devil and over his main weapon of death. We have a marvelous gain that awaits us at the end of our pain. But that's not always easy to keep in mind, is it? When we're in the midst of being put down for our faith, or maybe just in the midst of being down in general, it's easy to take our eyes off of the goal. It's easy to start thinking about all of the hassles and heartaches that are around us and to concentrate on them. I'm sure that for many of the Christians at Smyrna, it was a challenge not to concentrate on what was happening to them right now, especially as some of them sat in prison. But the same was true for them as it is for us now. No pain, no gain. The author of Hebrews encourages us, let us run the race with endurance that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. As you navigate the challenging course of this life on this earth, keep your eyes on the goal. Keep your eyes on Jesus, whose pain is our gain. Amen.